Before we actually begin this week's parak, I want to review a little bit of what we said over last week, because it'll help us understand some of the ideas in this week's this week and next week. Last week in parak hey, we discussed the idea of, let's say, Har and Giva, which you said Har represents the Avos, the Bechina of Docha, the male aspect, and the Giva represents like the Imahos, the female aspect. And we said that we don't literally mean male and female. We're talking about giving Shefa or Hashpa and receiving Shefa or Hashpa. That was, we said, the difference between the words Har and Giva. And then we said that we see the same thing again in regard to the rain and the ground, that the rain or the gives the hashpa to the ground, and that's where things grow from. And we said the same thing about the relationship between man and wife, and the relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Kol Yisrael. And I didn't speak it out, but it's also really the same thing between Shemayim and Eretz. Eretz is Lashon Nekeva in LP Diktuk, or Eretz Toiva. You say, you don't say Eretz Toiv, because Eretz is Lashon Nekeva. So you also see, just reviewing what we said last, a little bit what we said last week. So you see also that Eretz is Lashon, is like Nekeva, and Shemayim is Zocha, that it brings the Hashpa. The rain comes from Shemayim down to the Eretz. And we also mentioned last week a question that I had myself: Why if Har is Zachar and Giva is Nekeva, so why when a woman becomes pregnant she becomes Vatahar? Why does she become like a Har? So he said that the word is that now she who usually is receiving, she becomes the one who's giving. She's sustaining the child inside of her. These are ideas that we said over last week. In Parak Ches we're going to be discussing something called Soid HaIbur. The secret literally means the secret. Ibur means pregnancy. The kilu, the secret of pregnancy. That's what it literally means. Soid HaIbur. What is Soid HaIbur? So Rashi in the end of Mesachas Ksubas says that Soid HaIbur is not really such a deep secret. It's simply a mathematical calculation. Soid HaIbur. There we go. Soid HaIbur is like this. We know that the time it takes for the Earth to rotate around the Sun is approximately 365 days and about a fourth.
He said it in here.
Who says it in there?
I just read it today.
I'm skipping Vav and Zion. So
in Vav he says.
Yeah.
Goes through all the.
That's why if you, in the secular calendar, which is 365 days in a year. So every 4 years they add an extra day, so that quarter adds up to an extra day, and then you have, that's what's called a leap year at the end of February. That's the secular calendar. That if you're going just with the years. Now if you go with the months of the Levana, that was there from before. I mean, if you go with the month, there's an extra one over here. If you go with the months of the Levana, so it's less than 365 days. So the problem is that the seasons of the year go with the mahalach of the sun. The sun really determines what season it is. So then how, if we're using just a lunar calendar, we're just going with the moon, so then how are we going to maintain this congruency with the seasons of the sun? So that's where the Indian of Soid HaIbur comes in. Soid HaIbur is that sometimes, even though we have a completely lunar calendar, but sometimes what we do is we add an extra month so that our calendar will be in consonance with the solar calendar. That's what Rashib Shat and Soid HaIbur is. That's what basically Rashi in the end of Maseches Ksubas says. And there's a sefer from one of the early Mekubalim, the Maram Ibn Gabai. He has a sefer called Avodas HaKodesh. And in the sefer called Chelek Sisrei Taira and Perek Beis, the Radal sort of brings it down. We're going to do Perek Ches, but we didn't start yet. Giving up Sokdom. He says, what is Soid HaIbur? Soid HaIbur sounds like it's like a secret, like some sort of like deep Kabbalistic idea. Yeah, from this Rashi, it sounds like a very pashut mathematical calculation. You just add an extra month every once in a while. So he comes out that it's really both. There's some sort of deep Kabbalistical secret, as well as the simple mathematical calculation. He says that it's both. So the question really is, what does that mean, and what could possibly be this deep Kabbalistical secret that is also a simple mathematical calculation? What are we talking about over here? So before beginning the parak, this is still part of the Hakdama, I want to speak about what is the inyan of the sun and the moon, and how that relates to what Seyde Ibor is, and then we can understand this idea a little bit better. As we discussed last week, there's a koyach of what we call the koyach of that's mashpia, that gives off hashpa, and there's a koyach that receives hashpa. Right? So when we're discussing the sun and the moon, it fits in very well with these two ideas. Because as we know, we might know from science class, others might know this from a Tshuva Sarajba, the sun gives off light. The moon, when you look at night and you see the moon, it looks like it's shining. The moon doesn't give off any light. All the light that you see from the moon is a reflection of the light given from the sun. So the sun sun gives off light, and the moon receives light. The sun gives hashpa, the moon receives hashpa. The Gemara says that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu was like the face of the sun, and the face of Yeshua was like the face of the moon. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rebbe. He taught the Torah to Yeshua, and Yeshua received it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is like the sun because he's giving the hashpa, and Yeshua is like the sun is like the moon because he's receiving the hashpa. We also find in this upcoming week's parsha, in Parshas Vayeshev, so Yosef has a dream. His first dream, he sees the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. Right? The sun, the moon, 11 stars. So what was Yaakov Avinu's response to the sun and the moon and 11 stars? So Yaakov Avinu said, "Havoy navoy ani ve'imuchav ve'achachal yishtachav ve'slecha art." Am I your mother and your brother's going to come bow down to you? It doesn't make any sense. Who said anything about him and his the father, the wife and the brother? Because the sun is the father, the moon is the mother, and the brothers are the stars. So that's where he saw it in the dream, that it's talking about Yaakov and Rachel. Yaakov was glad at saying that, no, Rachel's already dead, so the dream can't be true. But then you could say that the moon is not referring necessarily to Rachel, it's referring maybe to one of Yaakovina's other wives. But there you see again that the sun is something that gives a hashpa, and the moon is something that receives the hashpa. Similarly, also in the Tur, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, the Tur says that the three regalim that we have, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, so they're connected to the three avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Pesach is Avram, Shavuos is Yitzchak, Sukkos is Yaakov. Yaakov went to Karl Shemo Makim Sukkos in the sixth parasha. So the three regalim are connected to the three avos. He says Rosh Chodesh is connected the Yud Beis Shvatim. But he says that Rosh Chodesh is a minig that Nashim don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh has to do with the women. So the regalim, which have to do with the seasons of the year, Pesach is a Chag Aviv, Sukkot is Tkufas Hashana, Shavuos is Yemei Ketzir Chitim. All these things, those things have to do with the mahalach of the sun, that's shaykh to the avos. Mashenkin Rosh Chodesh, which has to do with the moon, that's dafka shaykh to the imohis. And we find more and more examples of this idea in many different places in Chazal. Just one that's not so famous is the Gemara in Brachas and Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. There was a certain tzaduki who came to Rabbi Shmuel, and he had all kinds of different funny dreams. And he asked Rabbi Shmuel, what happens here? Well, I saw this in this dream. What does that mean? And Rabbi Shmuel told him back, this is what it means. And he said, another funny dream. And Rabbi Shmuel told him back, this is what it means. So one of the dreams he had is like, he saw that he was kissing the moon. So he said, so what does that mean? Well, I was kissing the moon. So Rabbi Shmuel says, oh, what, kissing the moon? You're Mizana with a wife of a Yisrael, Ishis Yisrael. So you see over there that first of all, that the moon represents Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael, in regard to the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael receives, so Klal Yisrael. And it also, in specific, represents the women of Klal Yisrael, because they're the Bechinas HaNukva, the receiving end. Similarly, there's an interesting musig that a lot of Sfarim talk about. I think Rav Nachman Breslov talks about this. Others talk about this. Also, the first mission ksubis is Besula Nisus Liyem Arevi. And if you take the first letters of the words Besula Nisus Liyem Arevi, you get the word Levana. It's a little bit scrambled up, but you get the word levana. Ksubas bezim and aleph. And we say about the moon is like a kala in some aspects, and the sun, on the other hand, we say that it's a pasuk in Tehillim about this, talking about the sun in Perek Yutes. That the sun is like a chasan coming out of his chuppah, or like a strong man running down the road. So we see the same idea of the mashpia and mekabel in regard to the sun and the moon as well. Now, it would seem that the mahalach of the sun and the mahalach of the moon are two contradictory ideas. One gives off hashpah, one takes hashpah. So how do you put them together? So I think that that's what it means when we talk about that Soida Ibor has a deep Kabbalistic idea. The deep Kabbalistic idea is putting together these two things which otherwise seem like a contradiction to each other, and making them work out together. That's the Soida Ibor. Just like the mathematical calculation is taking the solar calendar and the lunar calendar and putting them together and make it work out, so to the Kabbalistic explanation of Soida Ibor is taking out this idea of Mashpia and Mekabel of the sun and the moon and putting it together.
Which is very interesting, because the sun and the moon used to be the same thing. And then the Medr says that, we read it here, right?
Right.
And the moon, like, complained, how come there's two...
Ein shtem lo'alcha mishamshin b'tagar echad. Right.
And also in Adam and Adam Rishon, he said that, and Chava came from him, and then became a being.
On its own.
Opposite from him. Uh-huh. But it's, I don't know, somehow I saw some similar concept here, that the one is the mashpia, but essentially they're the same. The moon, you know, in the future should be like the sun.
Right.
And maybe like when two souls are like, you know, like they connect together, then they live this world. Like they also like have to combine, or just like a whatever, and be together. It's like, you know, there's no difference between a male and female,
right,
in the upper world. So that's maybe the concept of Ibor. There's the two similar, right, things that like they were somehow twisted and.
You're saying somehow, the reason is because in the end of the day, it's still a secret. So we don't know exactly, we're saying a basic idea, but how does it exactly work? Yeah, I don't know. That's just...
Something with the forms also, like Hashem created forms, like something mashpia, which is in general is like something like with an instrument, like the mekabel, which is a kli, which is something that like a cup, like it's a receiving kind of thing. That's the woman and
right,
and the man. And also, I don't know how it applies to the moon and the sun.
Okay, so with this introduction, let's start the perek. Perek Ches. We're skipping Vav and Zayin because it has to do with astronomy and astrology and these type of things that I don't necessarily understand, and hopefully we'll find someone who does understand it. But Perek Ches starts like this. First of all, we mentioned in the introduction the first shir, so we said that there was a machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. When was the world created? Rabbi Eliezer says B'tishrei Nivra Olam, and Rabbi Yeshua says B'nisan Nivra Olam. So we're going with Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, which is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer held that the world was created in Tishrei. The Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says, what does it mean that the world was created in Tishrei? It means that Adam HaRishon was created in Tishrei. Which means that really the world began, Hashem, the first day of creation was really Chaf Hei Elul. Chaf Hei Elul was the first day, Chaf Vav the second day, Chaf Zayin the third day, Chaf Ches the fourth day, Chaf Tes the fifth day. The sixth day, which is Aleph Tishrei, that was the day that Adam HaRishon was created. It happens to be that Aleph Tishrei came out on a Friday that year, because Adam HaRishon was created on a Friday. It's interesting that in our calendar, Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on a Friday. Loy Adu Rosh, Sunday, Aleph Dalet Vav, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, the first day of Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. So our calendar, it can't come out like that. But that was the way it was in Bria's Olam. So we're talking now about the fourth day of creation. In the fourth day of creation, when the sun and the moon were created, so the Medrash says, Be'esrei Mishmayna Be'elol, on the 28th day of Elul, right? Because the world started on the 25th, and the sixth day was on Aleph Tishrei. So be'asim mishmeinu be'elul, the 28th day of Elul, nivru'u chama ulavana, the sun and the moon were created. Uminyan, and the counting, the Marzu takes out the word shehu. So uminyan shanim v'chadashim v'yamim v'leilis, the counting of years and months and days and nights. Shois v'kitzim uskufois, hours. Kitzim means, you know, periods of time. The Radal says maybe it's supposed to say itim, which is maybe less smaller periods of time. Then the Radal says maybe it means regaim, which is an even smaller period of time. If you know what a rega is, in Israel, rega means like 10 minutes. But
rega means a second.
But in the Gemara Brachas, the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, what does it mean a rega? So the Gemara brings two shitas. The Gemara says, a rega is either 1,508,888 of an hour, which is pretty a fraction of a second. Or the Gemara says, what does it mean a rega? A rega kamemre. The amount of time it takes to say the word rega, that's what a rega is. So that's also a small amount of time.
So that's supposed to be a moment?
A moment.
According to this calculation, it's a moment or a second?
Not clear.
Less than
probably less than a second. Rega,
less
rega.
We find it in Brochus the exact. I think that's the calculation we find here. The exact time that Hashem
is angry. Right. That's the Gemara in Brochus I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because there's 100 moments in a second.
Chabi kemat rega.
There's 100 moments in each second.
I don't know where you get that from.
I don't.
Moment is it's what's it called? It's a subjective idea. It's like a moment. So a moment is an unspecified period of time.
Everyone agrees it should be short.
In theory. Shalis v'kitzim utkufois. Yeah, that's called Tkufa's astronomical seasons, umachzarais, cycles, v'iburin, and examples of adding an extra month. All these things, hayu lefne kadish baruch hu. All these things were in front of a kadish baruch hu at the creation of the world. V'ahiyah me'aber es hashana. And a kadish baruch hu in the beginning of the world was responsible for adding the extra month in the year. He's the one who would be me'aber the shana. Literally, if you translate the words ma'aber es hashana, it means that he would make the year pregnant. Right? He would be ibur shana means like the pregnancy of the year. Which, according to what we said last week, that vatahar means that when a woman becomes pregnant, we're talking about a melding of the mashpia and mekabel. So here too, when we're talking about seida ibur, it's the same idea. If the sun and the moon is mashpia and mekabel, and we're trying to put them together, so it also it makes sense to use the word ibur or pregnancy, so to speak.
And there's a new day, a new day, which is the offspring.
On the Gregorian calendar.
No.
On our calendar, the extra calendar. Month. You're saying.
Yeah, we put an extra day.
An extra month.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know, but it happens. It has because of this. That extra
if there's 2 days Rosh Chodesh or
yeah. And Rosh Chodesh and they used to do it in Rosh Hashanah, and then they stopped doing it because of the problem with the Levim.
Right, because they didn't know what Shir to sing.
Yeah,
if they came too late and yeah. Okay, fine. The Acher Kach Misarin La'Adam Rishon Began Eden. And afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the responsibility of doing Ibur Hashana to Adam Rishon in Gan Eden. Shneimer, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. This is the book of the Toldos of the generations of man. Minyan Olam L'chol Toldos Bnei Adam. Minyan Olam, the accounting of the world for all generations. There's a few interesting points about this. If you look at the pasuk inside. In the beginning of Bereshit, Perek Hey, it's talking about after all the stories in Parshas Bereishis of Adam and Cain and Hevel, and Lamech had two wives, and then Adam got remarried to Chava and had Sheth, and Sheth had Enosh. Right? After all that, then it goes into like the nitty gritty genealogical tables in the Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph. Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam B'yom Bra Elokim B'dmus Hashem made. This is the Sefer, the book of the generations of man. On the day that Hashem created man, in the form of Hashem, He made man. So the way the Marzu explains what the Medrash is saying over here, it's dashing the word Sefer as if it's lashing like Sphira, counting. Zeh Sphira, like this is the counting for the generations. This is how to count, how to make a cheshbon of Seder Ibur. The Radal, and we said that Hashem gave it to him in Gan Eden. How do you know He gave it to him in Gan Eden? So if you read the pasuk, it's saying Zeh Sefer. Let's say Sefer means accounting of told us Adam when B'yom Bara Elokim Adam, on the day that Hashem created him, and on the day that Hashem created him, he was in Gan Eden. Even though this pasuk in the way the pasukim are is talking about after they're already kicked out of Gan Eden. It's talking about 100 years later or so. 130 years later. So that's why it says in the Medrash that it was in Gan Eden. Another nekuda that the Radal points out is that it says in the pasuk before is talking about Enosh, and he wants to say that the pasuk before is also talking about the sun and the moon, which will tell you why the Medrash felt it that it's appropriate to dash in this pasuk to be talking about the reconciliation of the sun and the moon, because the previous pasuk said Ulusheis Gam Hu Yulad Bain. Sheis also had a son Vayikras Shemay Enosh, and his name was Enosh. Oz Hu Chal Lekrei B'Shem Hashem. Then they started to call in the name of Hashem. So in the time of Enosh, they used to call in the name of Hashem. What does it mean that in the time of Enosh they used to call in the name of Hashem? So the Rambam speaks about this. It's a somewhat famous Rambam, but it's kedai to read it inside. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, and I quote: "Bimei Enosh tov bnei ha'adam tov gedola." In the time of Enosh, civilization made a grave mistake. V'nivra atzos chachmei eisadar. And the advice of the wise men of that generation was destroyed or burnt up. V'Enosh atzom inatim, and Enosh himself was from the people that made this mistake. V'zu ha'isat husam. This is what their mistake was. Omru, they said, Hoya v'hakel bara keichavim elu. Since Hashem created these stars, v'galgolim, and these different celestial beings, the sun and the moon, lahanigas ha'olam, in order to let's say to drive the world, to continue keep the world going. V'nisanam b'morim, and He put them all the way up. V'cholak lehem kovoid, and Hashem gave them kovoid. V'hem shamshim v'hameshamtem lefonov, and they are the servants that serve in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ru'uyim hem l'shab chamu l'farim v'cholak lehem kovoid. It's fitting for us to give them kovoid and to serve them as well, and to exalt them and such. V'zeh ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is what Hashem wants from us. L'gadol l'kaved mishigod l'v'chovdei, that we should make great and give honor to that which Hashem makes great and gives honor to. Just like a king would want that people give honor and covet to his servant, his personal servants, the ones that serve very close to him, his butler, even though he's a butler, but he's the king's butler, so you have to give him covet. So that's the covet of the king, to give covet to things that the king wants people to give covet to. So they decided that we have to give covet to the sun and the moon because Hashem gave them covet. So when they thought about this, they started building different sanctuaries for the stars, and to bring in their honor sacrifices, and to praise them, to speak about their greatness, and to bow in front of them, in order so that they could achieve what they think Hashem wants in their mistaken thoughts. V'zeh ikra avodah zarah. This is how avodah zarah started off. And this is what it means in the pasuk. Oz hucha likrei b'shem Hashem. Then they started calling in the name of Hashem. Then in the time of Enosh, they started calling the sun and the moon in the name of Hashem. That's what the pasuk means. And then the next pasuk says, Zetzer told us Adam. So that's the continuation. Once we're talking about the sun and the moon, what's really supposed to do with the sun and the moon? So there, Hashem, we speak about Hashem giving to Adam Arishan the koyach to be koyveya ibur Hashana. Fine. So so the first step in the transmission of the side of ibur Hashana was Adam Arishan. Let's continue. And by the way, the Radal that I mentioned before about the Maram Gabbai is over here in Ois Ches. Okay, so Adam Moser Lachanoich. Adam gave over the responsibility and the Kayach to be Ma'abra the Shana to Chanoich. V'nichlas beside Ibar. And Chanoich entered the secret of the Ibar. V'Ibar es Hashana. And he was responsible for adding the extra month to the year. Shneamar, it says in the Pasuk. The path of Hashem. The manager is saying what it means is that Chanoich went in the path of calculating the days of the world that Hashem gave to Adam. Now, if you look in the Pesukim in Parashas Bereishis when it's talking about Chanoich in Perek Hay as well, Perek Hay Pasuk Chaf Aleph. He was 65 when he had his son Mesushalach. Chanoich walked with Hashem. After he gave birth to Mesushalach, for 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. And all the days of Chanoich was 365 days. 365 years. And Chanoich walked in the path of Hashem, and Hashem took him away, and he died. So it says twice, and the Radal says that the Medrash is dashing. Why does it say it twice that he went in the proper path? So he's saying what? The first time is telling you that he was a good person. In contrast to everyone else in his generation, he didn't do avodah zarah. That's the first vayishalech chanoich es elokim. With the second one, that's what we're dashing over here, that it's coming to tell you that he went in the path that Hashem gave over to Adam Rishon of how to be ma'abra the shana. And then also the Radal points out an interesting thing, that the pasuk right before that, where it says the chanoich lived for 365 years, is also a remez to this idea that chanoich had an understanding of how the sun and the mahalach of the sun, because 365 days corresponds to these 365 years. Okay, that's.
He didn't live long for the people that, you know, compared to his generation, is to live like 1,000 years.
Right. So Rashi speaks about that. Rashi says that Hashem. Rashi says tzaddik vayishalech chanoich tzaddik haya. He was a tzaddik. But he was sort of weak-minded. He could have been easily swayed. He could have easily been swayed towards bad things. That's why Hashem quickly acted and took him away and killed him before his time, so to speak. Even though he could have lived longer, like most of the other people in that time. It doesn't say that he died, it's just that he's not around anymore. And there's all kinds of midrashim that he became a malach, he became the malach memtes, or sorry, shalaylam, we don't want
to. Apparently, he was strong enough to resist the hashpa of those people who were worshipping Bodhisattva, but the inference is that he, in the future, he could have fallen.
Right. Right now it seems like he was okay, but in the future, so Hashem sort of killed him off earlier instead of letting him live a full life like other people in those generations.
The idea of saying that he was weak-minded, he couldn't have been weak-minded because he stood up against everyone else who was worshipping Avodah Zarah.
I guess not as much as
he was one of the first ones to want to create Avodah Zarah.
That was Enosh.
Ades Hanoch.
Yeah. Enosh.
I thought it was Chanoch.
In English, like Enosh and Chanoch, I think are like spelled the same or something, mm-hmm. Right?
I think so.
Something like
that. How is that? Enosh is E-N-O-S-H. Hanok is H-A-N-O-C-H.
I know, but in like in like the New Testament, not in the New Testament, like the King James Version or whatever.
In the Old Testament.
In like the JPS, they translate Hanok, Enosh as E-N-O-S, and then Hanok, it's based on the Targum Shivim, which
no, I'm correct. It says Adam Masa Ale Hanok.
What?
Yeah, Adam Masa Ale Hanok.
Right.
The here.
Oh.
When we're talking about the Avodah Zarah before this pasuk of giving it to Adam.
I heard you saying that, yeah, that's
the
yeah, and I heard you saying that Hanoch was amongst the people that the first people.
No, Enosh was.
I heard you saying Hanoch, I'm sorry.
The Rambam says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, it says Enosh.
Here's Enosh.
Oz hu chalikre b'shem
Hashem.
Right.
Shem Hashem explains that it's shameless, all kinds of things, you know.
What do you mean?
To call on other things Hashem. I mean, call right. Like water Hashem, or to call cloud Hashem.
Right.
I mean, to call Hashem, to call things Hashem, things which are not Hashem.
Right. Lukre b'shem Hashem. They call things in the name of Hashem that aren't really Hashem.
So Rashi says it.
Huh?
You said that to Rashi says it.
Right, she says it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rashi and Rambam seem to be saying the same thing, no? Just the Rambam explains how they came to that mistake, yeah?
Yeah.
So they're looking for an intermediary, right?
Yeah, something yeah. Tangible, you know?
Something we can all relate to, so to speak.
Something you can see.
So who's Hashem? He's all the way out there. We need something.
Well, the image that you can't see. We need these things you could see.
We need a transmitter.
Transmitter.
A radio.
Okay,
you know what direction to point in?
This is a very interesting point over here. V'shem, v'chanoich masel l'nayach. Chanoich gave over to Nayach the Seid HaIbor, v'Iber es Hashana. And Nayach was then responsible for being Ma'aber the Shana. Now, it's very interesting, looking back at the Chumash again, if someone has a calculator, it might help a little bit. Chanoich was... Someone has a calculator? Yeah, everyone? Mm-hmm. Chanoich was 65 years old when he had Mesushelach.
I'm typing
that in? Yeah, 65. Mm-hmm. No, wait, one second. Chanoich lived 365 years. And he was 65 when he had Mesushelach. So he lived. That's clear. He said, "Let's say he lived 300 years after Mesushelach was born,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now Mesushelach was 82 when Lamech was born. 187. Mr. Shelach was 187 years old when he was born, when Lamech was born, and Lamech was 182 years old when Nayach was born.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
No, 782.
Oh, that's how old when he died. Right. So Mesushelach was 187 plus
182
is what? 369 years from when Mesushelach was born until when Nayach was born. Nahon? Now, we said that Chanoch only lived 365 years, 300 of which were after Mesushelach was born. So, how could Chanoch give to Nayach? Uh-huh. Chanoch died before Nayach was even born, by like 60 years at least.
Wait a minute, are you doing that right?
You gave it to the son, 65.
65. 300, and we need another 369 from Noah.
Right.
It's
bad. So the piece that you guys have, the Bais HaGadol, brings in the name of Seder Adaris, that you have to add another step. You have to say that Chanoich gave it to Mr. Shalach, Mr. Shalach gave it to Nayach. There's a step missing in our Gersa. That's what the Seder Adaris says.
At one point did they give it up?
What?
Grandson.
Oh, we're gonna get to Nayach in a moment. What are you saying?
Yeah, okay.
Lamech.
So Shalach is not handing it over to his son. Instead, he's doing it to giving it to his grandson.
Look, Adam Rishon gave it. We didn't say that Adam gave it to Shais and Shais gave it to Enosh, right? We went from Adam all the way to Chanoch. So it must be that between Adam and Chanoch there was no one who was worthy. Then from Chanoch to Mr. Shalach, so Mr. Shalach, his son, was worthy. Mr. Shalach, to his son, Lamech wasn't worthy. So he didn't give it to his son, he gave it to his grandson, to Nayach. We're only giving it to the people that are deserving of it.
So you're saying they gave it over? They gave it over when they found someone worthy, or when they felt they were about to... No one knows when they're going to go.
It doesn't say when they gave it over.
Okay.
But we're going to see later on that could be they gave it over even in their lifetime, even when they were still active.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. But so
that's what I'm about to say. Like, given over is, like, it doesn't necessarily say that the guy is to be alive. It's like I left it to my grandson, even though I'm not here.
Well, Mosar means like you sort of passed it to him.
I got something from my great grandfather that is like
video.
Just inherited something that is. You know?
I hear, but it sounds more like like it was a Rebbe, a teacher student sort of relationship. He taught him the secrets and how to do it exactly. He wrote it down. He put it under his bed and said nobody should read this until
my
grandson. I don't know.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
How does he know he's going to be born? How does he know he's going to be worthy? I don't know.
Am I mistaken in that I got the impression before that when they gave it over, they gave it the Acharias to do it.
Yeah, that's the way I translated it.
Yeah, that they started. I'm not doing it anymore. Next year, you're doing it.
Right.
So that had to be in their lifetimes.
Could be. Okay. If they knew when they were going, then maybe. I don't know.
According to that translation.
What's the rest of the portion saying about this?
About this kasha, about that. They all say the same thing. The Bais HaGadol that you guys have says this from the Seder Adaris. And then he adds that you should say the same thing later on in Perek Mem, where it's talking about the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, who had the stick. There it says Chanoch gave it to Noach, but it doesn't work. So he said Chanoch to Mr. Shalach to Noach. And the Radal says the same thing about the clothing of Adam Rishon in Perek Mem Beis, that it says that Chanoch gave it to Noach, but you have to say Chanoch gave it to Mr. Shalach, who gave it to Noach. They all say the same thing. I don't think there's any other way to get around this question. Okay. Okay, it says Va'amar. The Marzu says maybe it should say Shenamar. It says in the Pasuk, after the story of the Mabul, so Hashem promised Nayach that he's going to continue, he's not going to do such a thing again. It says in the Pasuk, Oid kol yamei ha'aretz, throughout all the days of the land, Zera v'kotzer v'koyer v'chayim v'kayetz v'chayif. Zera, planting season, kotzer is the harvest season, kor is cold season, chayim, hot season, kayetz, it's summer, chayif, winter. All these things, all these different times of the year, they're all going to be kavua, and they're never going to be played around with, because Mafarshim said that during the Mabul, so the sun and the moon weren't necessarily doing their thing during that time, and the whole world was just like completely messed up, and the seasons weren't seasons, and there was just raining and raining. And so when Hashem gave him the rainbow and said, "I'm not going to do this again," he said, "All these things are going to remain in place. I'm not going to play around with it anymore." That's what Hashem gives Havtacha. So he said all these different seasons. So the Medrash says, "Zera zut kufas tishrei." Zera, the time of planting, that's the season of Tishrei. Roughly what you would call, let's say, autumn, I don't know. Ktsir zut kufas Nisan. Ktsir zut kufas Nisan. The time of harvesting is around the time of Nisan. Let's call it spring. Kor zut kufas Teves. Cold is tkufas Teves, the tkufa around the month of Teves, which is winter. Which is what we call summer. V'kayetz b'itay v'chayet b'itay. If you think about it, you have a 12-month year, so you can break up a 12-month year in different ways. So you can break it up into 12 parts, where each one is going to be 1 month long. You could break it up into two parts, where each one is 6 months long. You could break it up into three parts, where each one is 4 months long. You could break it up into four parts, where each one is 3 months long. You could break it up into six parts, where each one is 2 months long. Right? So the Medrash over here is breaking up the year into four parts, the four seasons. So yeah, the four seasons plus kayetz beitay v'chayev beitay, plus a more like sort of general seasons. You have 6 months of what we call just stam summer and 6 months of just cold winter. Like we have, like in the yeshiva shalom, we call from Pesach to Sukkot we call it summer, and from Sukkot to Pesach we call it winter. It doesn't get more detailed than that. It's just a pasha like that. So we had the four seasons plus these two seasons, these two general seasons. The Gemara actually.
Actually, I'm sorry. This week's parsha, it says is something about how long.
This, how long it goes by Sukkot.
Yeah, exactly. How goes Yagel in the Sukkot? It says 18 months. Why? Because it says kites.
Right. It's interesting, in the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Af Kuv Vavam and Beis, the Gemara doesn't break it up into four seasons. The Gemara breaks it up into six seasons, which each one is 2 months. It is funny, because, and also it's even funnier the way the Gemara does it. The Gemara says Kuv Vavam and Beis, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Mishum Rabbi Meir Oimer V'chein Hayar Rabbi Shimon Menasi Oimer Kedvorov Chatzi Tishrei Marcheshen V'chatzi Kislev Zera. Half of Tishrei Cheshvan and then half of Kislev is Zera. Chatzi Kislev Tevis, Chatzi Shvat Chorif. That's winter. Chatzi Shvat Odor, Chatzi Nisan Kor, Chatzi Nisan Iyar, Chatzi Sivan Kotzir, Chatzi Sivan Tammuz, Chatzi Av Kayet, Chatzi Av Elul, Chatzi Tishrei Chaim. It's like a month, and then the half month before and half a month after to make it 2 months. Listen, the Gemara has six seasons. It takes this pasuk and breaks it up into six. Instead of saying the way we're darshaning it, this is a Gemara Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Right. If you what?
Yoma says here. I'm here. It says he brings Yoma.
Who you, Rashi?
Yeah.
I don't remember what Rashi says, but the Pirkei Avos is, the Dashin said it has four seasons and sort of two general seasons. The Gemara takes it, no, it's six seasons. Even though Kayetz V'Chorif is not necessarily in the order of what it's talking about in the Pasuk. It says, Oikom Yeres Zera V'Katze V'Kar V'Chaim, and then V'Kayetz V'Chorif. Okay. But that's the way, that's the Gemara and the Medrash.
The transition between the seasons is smoother. You don't feel it.
One question.
Yeah.
Sukkot, we always say, is the time of Katsir.
Yeah.
And yet, here,
no,
Sukkot is. We're saying the time of Zera. What's
the, why? Sukkot is ba'as b'chem is tvuas ha'aretz. That's more. It's more like Ktzir is more Pesach and Shavuos time.
At the beginning, I didn't see that. I started the one after.
Well, Rashi brings down both opinions.
The way he talks about it, I didn't see that line. He actually says Vav Itim, but the way he talks about it, it seems like it's
as
a
what is it?
Oh, Bechule. He also brings the Gemara that you just brought. Bechule, the Bava Metzia. But if you go Vayter,
yeah.
If you go Vayter,
okay, it's he says as Vav. Yeah, Rashi goes like the Gemara. Okay. So that's Noach receiving his Kabbalah of the years. of the seasons and how to do Ibra Hashanah. The next step, Noach Masa L'Shem. Noach gave over to Shem. V'nichnas beside the Ibar, and Shem entered the secret of the Ibar. V'Ibar es Hashana, and he was Ma'abar the Shana. Now the Medrash says something interesting over here. It says V'nikra Koyin, and Shem was called a Koyin. Then the Medrash says V'chi Shem ben Noach Koyin haya. Shem the son of Noach was a Koyin. What does that mean? He was a Koyin. Ela al yidei shahaya b'char v'haya mishares b'yayim uvalayla v'fichach nikra Koyin. Since Shem was a b'char and he served Hashem day and night like a kohen does, because a kohen during the day he does avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, and during the night they do avodah guarding the Beis Hamikdash. So and that's also called avodas hakodesh. The Radha brings a pasuk of what pasuk exactly, but it's watching the Beis, guarding the Beis Hamikdash is also called avodah. So kohen does avodah during the day and night, and Shem also did avodah day and night. The fikach nikra koyin. Therefore, Shem is called a koyin. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk. This is in Parshas Lach Lecha. Malkitzedek Melech Shalem Hoytzi Lachem Vayoyin Vhu Chayhein Lekel Aliyin. Malkitzedek, who almost everyone says that Malkitzedek is Shem. He brought to Avraham Avinu after the war of the four kings and the five kings. He brought him Lechem Vayoyin, and he says Vhu Chayhein Lekel Aliyin. He was a koyin. So Malkitzedek was a koyin. What does this have to do with Sayyid Ibar, that he was a Kayan? Who cares that he was a Kayan? I don't know. So I'll explain in a moment. V'shem Masal Avram. And Shem gave over the Kayak to be Ma'abar the Shana to Avram Avinu. V'nichnas with Sayyid Ibar, V'Ibar as Hashana. And Avram Avinu entered the secret of the Ibar, and he was Ma'abar the Shana. V'nikra Kayan. And Avram Avinu as well is called a Kayan. Shneamar. Nishba Hashem v'lo yinochim ata Kayan lo'elam. Shem says it basically to about Avraham Avinu, you're forever a kohen. Uminayim shemos Hashem Avraham. How do we know that Shem gave over to Avraham? Shneimar al devrasi malki tzedek. So Shem Noach gave it to Shem, who for some reason the manager felt the need to speak out that Shem was a kohen. And Avraham who got it from Shem, and Avraham was also a kohen. For some reason we had to speak out that Avraham is a kohen, and then Avram Masel Yitzchak. Avram gave it to Yitzchak. V'nichnas v'sayid Ibor. He entered the secret of the Ibor. V'Ibor es Hashana la'achar Moisa shel Avram. And he was the one responsible for being Ma'abir the Shana after Avram Avinu died. Shneimar says in the pasuk, V'hi acharei Moisa Avraham v'yivorech elikim es Yitzchak b'noi. It was after the death of Avram, Hashem blessed his son Yitzchak. What does it mean that he blessed him? Why did he bless him? Ashad nichnas b'sayid Ibor v'Ibor es Hashana. Because Yitzchak entered the secret of the Ibor and he was Ma'abar the Shana, so that's why he got a special bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, and then I don't think we're going to get to it today, but the Medrash goes on to say that Yitzchak gave it to Yaakov, Yaakov gave it to Yosef, and then in Mitzrayim they forgot it and it went to Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. But only over here, when we're talking about Shem and we're talking about Avraham Avinu, does the Medrash feel the need to speak out specifically, he was a Kohen. First of all, two questions. What does being a Kohen have to do with being Ma'abar the Shana? That's one question. The other question is, why does it only say it in regard to Shem and in regard to Avraham Avinu and not in regard to anybody else? So I have a little bit of some ideas to answer this question, but I don't know if we're gonna really fully understand it properly. But hopefully we'll throw out some ideas. First of all, stop. Why Bichlal are we talking? Why do we feel the need to say that they were kain? What does being kain have to do with being Ma'abar the Shana? So the Radal doesn't speak about this, but the Radal does speak about a similar thing, which if we expand on what he says, we can, I think, understand this a little bit better. He says that Malkitzedek is called Melech Shalem, the king of Shalem, Salem in English. Or Shalem means the complete place, the full place. We know that Shalem is also another name for Yerushalayim. Avraham Avinu called it Har Hashem Yeroeh, and Malkitzedek called it Malkitzedek Melech Shalem, and Yerushalayim is sort of a combination of Yeru of Har Hashem Yeroeh and Shalem of Malkitzedek. Together it's Yerushalayim. Shalem is when you have a full thing, when you have two parts together and you put it together and you have now something that's complete, a Shalem. So the Radal explains that Malki Tzedek was called Melech Shalem because he was Shalit on this idea of putting things together. He was able to put things together. He could take together, that's the way we're saying it, the Malach of the Levana, the Mahalach of the Chama, the sun, the solar calendar, and the lunar calendar, and put it together and make it work together as one cohesive unit. That's what it means that he was Melech Shalem. He was the king of putting things together like that. And that's what it has to do with the Ibur Hashanah. You can look at the Radal in Ois Yud Dalet if you want to see a little bit more about this idea. But I want to say that this could be also why the Menish felt the need to say that he was a Kohen, and that Avraham Avinu was a Kohen. What is the role of a Kohen? What's a Kohen supposed to do? So the role of a Kohen, to figure out what in general is the role of a Kohen, we have to look at the quintessential Kohen. Who is the most famous Kohen that ever existed? Aaron HaKohen. So the Mishnah in Maseches Avos says, "Havi mitamidav shel Aaron, Reidiv Shalem, Oyev Shalem, Veredev Shalem, Oyev Esabiris, Mekarvan Latera." What was Aaron HaKohen's role? Oyev, he loved peace, he ran after peace, he was Mekarev people, and he brought them closer to Hashem. Oyev Shalem, Reidiv Shalem, Oyev Esabiris, Mekarvan Latera. That's what Aaron HaKohen did. And we also find later on in Pirkei Deblyezer, in Perek Yud Zayin, when it speaks about when it talks about the death of Aaron HaKohen. So in Rashi also in Parshas Chukas brings this down. In Parshas Vizayis HaBrocho, when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu dying, so it says Vayivku V'nei Yisrael as Moshe, they cried. And when we're talking about Aaron HaKohen dying, in Parshas Chukas it says Vayivku Kol Beis Yisrael, Kol Beis Yisrael. But Moshe doesn't say Beis Yisrael, it just says Kol Yisrael. Vayivku B'nei Yisrael. Right? But Aaron says, Kol Beis Yisrael. Kol, everyone, Mamash, everyone. So the Medrash says, Pirkei Deblyezer later on says, La'aron gomu ha'anoshim ve'anoshim chesed. Everyone gave chesed to Aaron. Everyone came to his Lefaya. They all went to all the Hespedim. Why? Lama? Sha'ya'oyev shalom, v'reidiv shalom, v'oyver b'machane Yisrael b'chol yev. He would go around every day, v'neisen shalom, ben ishle ishle. He would be, what's it called? A marriage counselor, Uvein Ish L'Re'ehu, and he would help people work out all their disputes. He was everyone's best friend, he was always making peace. That was the Mahus of Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron HaKohen had a grandson named Pinchas, and Pinchas did a heroic act where Zimri was doing some not nice things with a Midianite princess, and comes along Pinchas, and he speared him and killed both of them. Right? Now you would think that that's a horrible act, killed some of it. What does Hashem say? Pinchas, you're going to get my brisi shalom, my peaceful covenant. A few psukim later it says, bris kuhunas oilam. He's giving a bris kuhunas oilam, that the descendants of Pinchas should be kohanim forever. So he calls it bris shalom, brisi shalom, and bris kuhuna. So you see also from this psukim that the inyan of being a kohen, a kuhuna, is the same inyan as shalom, making peace. We also find that kohanim nowadays, when they make when they give us a bracha, right? What's the last words of Birkas Kohanim? Yasim lecha shalom. And where do they say Birkas Kohanim? Not stam in the bracha of Rifa'enu and Shemoneh Esrei. They say it in the Sim Shalom. Whenever there's Birkas Kohanim, they always say Sim Shalom. What? Right before Sim, but it's kashur to that bracha of Sim Shalom. Also, we find that the Kohanim are the ones in the Beis Hamikdash. They bring what we call Korban Shlomim. What's a Korban Shlomim? So Rashi in Parshas Vayikra says, says that Korban Shalom is to make Shalom between the man and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and also it's called Shalom because everyone gets their own portion. The king gets to eat a little bit of it, the one who brings it gets to eat a little bit of it, and the Mizbeach gets to eat it. So everyone's happy. So it's Shalom, everyone works together. So if we understand that the Soid HaIbur is that we want to sort of make peace between two conflicting ideas, between two conflicting systems of making calendars, the sun's system and the moon's system, and we're putting it together and making peace between them. That's exactly what a kohen does. A kohen makes peace between people, makes peace between people and their wives, between people and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what a kohen is. So that I want to say that that's why the Medrash is speaking out that Shem was a kohen and Avraham Avinu was a kohen, to tell you that they were especially fitting to have the seid of Ibur. That's one idea. Does it make sense? You guys agree with that?
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Fine.
You have to agree. Just like it.
You like it. So we said only by Avram and by Shem does it speak out that they were a kohen. By all the other ones, we don't say that they were a kohen. Why not? If what I'm saying is true, that it's especially matim if you're a kohen to be part of this seid of Ibur, so why dafka by Avram and Shem?
Because Yaakov even got the bechayu, which is bechayu also connected with kohuna, no?
Oh, so why doesn't Yaakov even was a kohen also?
It doesn't say it's moving
Me'elov. Oh, so that's what I want to say. I want to say that you're right. It's moving Me'elov. It's pushing from on its own. It's self evident that everyone else was a kohen because Avram gave it to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was for sure a kohen. Why? He was the firstborn, not from his father, but for sure from his mother. And we have two different types of firstborns. We have in halacha, we have a firstborn from the father. He gets double Yerusha. We have a firstborn from the mother. You have to do Pidyon HaBen, etc. So this Mestama is totally in the firstborn from the mother because this has to do with Kedusha. It doesn't have to do with Yerusha. Maybe. If you want to say like that. So Yitzchak for sure was the firstborn. He was the firstborn of Sarah. Some of Farshim say that when Avraham Avinu had a daughter named Bakal, so she was born from Sarah before Yitzchak, but that's already, it's too far. And there's Kemat, nobody really says that. I found one sefer that says that, but there aren't really anyone that says that both that Bakal was older than Yitzchak and was a daughter of Sarah. But Pashas Yitzchak was the firstborn. Yaakov Avinu was the firstborn also. Either like what Rav Felder said, that he bought the firstborn from Esav, or like what Rashi brings down also, the mashal that if you put two marbles in a tube, and the one that you put in first, and then you pour them out, the one that you put in first, that one comes out last. So even though Yaakov Avinu was born after Esav, but he was really the Bechor, because we're talking about twins. And the twins, they were both put in at the same time, and when they came out, the one that was put in later came out first. So Yaakov Avinu was also Bechor. Yosef, it's before Shepasik that he was a Bechor. Bechor Sharei. Right? Yosef is called a Bechor Sharei. In Parshas Vizay Sabracha. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to figure out what the Pshat Moshe Rabbeinu is. What?
The Bechor of Yaakov Avinu is...
He was also right. Yosef was also a Bechor from Rachel. So everyone else is Pashat Vizay Bechor. But by Avram and Shem, you have to know how to read the Psukim. I chap what you're saying. You have to know how to read the Psukim. Because by Noach, it says Noach had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Now, it also says when it's talking about the generations of Shem, when it talks about the generation of Shem in Bereishis, in Parshas Noach, Bereishis Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says, Shem also had children. Avi kol b'nei Aver, he was the father of all the b'nei Aver. Achi Yefes Hagadol, the brother of Yefes Hagadol. Now, we don't know exactly how to read these words, Achi Yefes Hagadol. There's two ways to read it. You can either read it that the brother of Yefes, who was the oldest, you can read it like that, and some Mepharshim and some Midrashim and the Gemara has it start to read it like that, which would make it mean that Yefes was the Bechor, not Shem. Or you can read it, Achi Yefes Hagadol. He was the older brother of Yefes. Achi Yefes, the brother of Yefes, Hagadol, the older one, the oldest one. And that would make Shem the Bechor. So it's not clear exactly if Shem was a Bechor or Shem wasn't the Bechor. So to that effect, the Medrash had to say, no, Shem, by the way, Shem was a Bechor. That's why it spoke out by Shem, he was a Bechor. He was a Kohen because he was a Bechor. By Avraham Avinu as well, the Medrash says, the Pasuk says that In the end of Parshas Noach, it says, "Ve'elo toleis Terach, Terach halidus Avram es Nochor ves Haran, Haran halidus Loit." Terach had Avram, Nochor, and Haran. The Shaila is the Pesukim over here? Are they going in the order of their wisdom, or it's going in the order of their birth order? The Gemara has a discussion about it in the Masechta Sanhedrin, and there's different Midrashim go in different ways. Some Midrashim say that Avraham Avinu was actually the youngest son of Terach, not the oldest son of Terach. And that even though he's mentioned first, it's because it's going in order of wisdom, not in the order of who was born.
It sounds like the Bachar and the Kohuna could sometimes split up into two. Like you have the Kohuna to Levi and the Bachar to...
But do you find that it's split up into two before that?
Before that, no. Bachar is only after that point in history.
Right, that's true.
Also, Aaron wasn't the oldest. He was older than Moshe Rabbeinu, but he wasn't the oldest.
Right, Miriam was oldest. So I don't know exactly how to answer Moshe and Aaron, but Al Kapanim over here, it's not so pashut that Shem and Avram are Bukhars. So that's why the Menesh have to speak out that they were Kohen. I think that could be the pshat. Fine. I think we will stop over here. We're holding by Avram Avinu being Mekabel the Seida Ibur, and Meretz Hashem, next week we will continue from Avram giving over to Yitzchak and see what happens from there. Thank you guys for coming.
This is the Hebrew of our calendar.